My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it falls to me today to talk about the mystery of faith. And obviously, somewhat hard to speak on a mystery. We all know the Church's doctrine on the Most Holy Eucharist, which comes to us directly from our Lord Jesus Christ. And we just heard the Gospel of Mark account of the institution of the Most Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper, which sacramentally anticipated his sacrifice, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary the next day, and is the beginning at the Last Supper of this sacrament of salvation for the life of the world, which through which our Lord fulfills his promise to be with us until the end of time. I will always be with you. And he has kept his promise. These are magnificent truths that are belied by the appearance of the most holy body and blood of our Lord, which he takes under the form of bread and wine, simple signs that defy the senses. The signs don't defy the senses, but the truth of what those signs signify defy our physical, natural senses. And we know the truth of the Eucharist only through faith. There are many, many truths to delve into when contemplating our Lord in the Most Holy Eucharist, his true presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And throughout the procession that we're going to partake in after Mass, there will be a number of meditations. And so I will defer to the words of those who could say it better than I, and just focus on one interesting aspect of the Holy Eucharist, which is that through the Eucharist we have our freedom. Christ came to liberate us and to free us from sin and death. And he said, before anticipating the institution of the Eucharist, in his first discourse, if you do not eat my blood, if you do not eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have life in you. And the life to which he refers to is the divine life, the life of grace, which unites us to God and which gives us the means to live in this world of sin and death and yet not succumb. And we have to eat the Most Holy Eucharist. We have to receive Jesus in his body, blood, soul, and divinity to have that life. In our day, religion for many is reduced to a cultural artifact. And in this perspective, with a superficial perception, it doesn't even require faith to appreciate the good that we gain from religion, and many people limit it to that. But as I said, and as the Church teaches, the Holy Eucharist is the mystery of faith. And if we delve into it, as did all the saints, we hear these beautiful truths, such as in the Tantum Ergo, Word made flesh, the bread of nature, by his word to flesh he turns, wine into his blood he changes. What, though sense no change discerns, only be the heart in earnest, faith her lesson quickly learns. Faith will tell us Christ is present when our human senses fail. Just as our Lord, God Almighty, the Son of God, manifested himself to us by taking flesh, we too have to manifest our faith in numerous ways. Our whole life has to be an expression of our faith. And so the Feast of Corpus Christi is one of the ways that the Church encourages us to express our faith. Express means an outward showing. And so the procession that we're going to participate in is one way of expressing our Eucharistic faith, but it has to be faith and not just a simple cultural event. And in many cities, particularly in Europe, where Christian history began, really, at least the Latin Rite, in the cities of Europe, it's customary, it has been customary, to process through the streets of the city, demonstrating that faith, the faith by which alone man can be saved and man can realize his true good. I was thinking about this cultural aspect of the faith, and many people perhaps have good memories, and rightly so, of Corpus Christi processions in the beautiful spring or summertime. And there's another festival or celebration that we have here in America, which happens to fall during the summer, which is Independence Day. And it's a very important civic recollection, and I would say it's more than just a civil celebration if we understand it in relation to the Eucharist. Now, I'd just like to read something from this book by Cardinal Burke called Divine Love Made Flesh, and he reflects on some of the teachings of the popes, in particular, in this case, the teaching of Pope Benedict XVI. And he happens to begin this quote with a thought about Mary and then how that relates to our lives. From the Annunciation to Pentecost, Mary of Nazareth appears as someone whose freedom is completely open to God's will. And it's freedom that I want to talk about. In a true sense, we may describe our entire life as the struggle to express our freedom in the faithful following of Christ. That is, in the doing of God's will, with and in Christ in all things. Our whole life is the story of a daily conversion to Christ, conversion from the enslavement to sin, which is at the same time conversion to the freedom which Christ alone gives us. The struggle reaches its highest expression in our union with Christ in his Eucharistic sacrifice. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Catholic brothers and sisters, this truth that our highest expression of freedom is through this union with Christ in the Eucharist is one that cannot be underestimated or relegated to Catholic culture. Now, of course, God leaves everyone free to believe or not to believe, but we who do have the faith then have the obligation to profess it, and which brings me back to Independence Day. Independence Day began as a belief, as a conviction, and that conviction is enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, which everyone here, I'm sure, knows well, but I will cite it, the beginning, the preamble. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I would say that very clearly the first two of those inalienable rights are under attack and have been for a long time, even unfortunately in this country that prides itself and bases itself on the concept of these freedoms and these rights. When the government asserts that only some people have a right to life, then the right to life of all is endangered. And we've been living, you know, in a very immediate way here in Indiana, the attack on religious freedom. And without these first two rights, then it's impossible to realize the third one, which is pursuit of happiness. And we're made for a happiness by our Creator, to which we refer to here in the Declaration. We're made for a happiness that is fully realized only in the next life. And so, coming back to the Eucharist is the sacrament of freedom. And the attainment of happiness depends then on this true liberty, which we have only in Christ. He has given us, shared with us, his power to conquer death and sin, to free us from the tyranny of Satan and death. Therefore, as we go out to enjoy a procession in the company of our Lord and in adoration of him, let us also remember that he is with us, not just as a symbol, but really truly present, and that he is a sign for us of a life that will never end, and that we have to conform ourselves to. And to truly be free, we have to also express this truth, express this faith. There are many saints who've understood these truths and were willing to die for it. Saint Tarcisius, he's the patron saint of altar servers, altar boys. And he, as a child, would rather die, preferred to die than to profane the Eucharist. He was transporting the Viaticum when he was stopped, and he was killed because he wouldn't give up the Eucharist. And more recently, I don't know the name of this young girl in China, but when the Cultural Revolution took place there in the 60s, the Maoist guards profaned, desecrated the church and threw the Holy Eucharist on the floor. And this young girl risked her life night after night to go by cover of darkness into the church and recover one host per night until finally a guard did catch her, and I believe she was executed. So the martyrs for the Holy Eucharist teach us the importance of this inestimable gift on which our eternal life depends. It's the source and summit of the life of the church, and the church is the hope of the world. So brothers and sisters, we have a great privilege and a great responsibility to honor our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and publicly. And I am a patriot, and I love our country, but the greatness of our country is subordinate to the glory of God. And so when we celebrate this nation, let us be true patriots and affirm these rights that our founding fathers affirmed, and insist upon them, And then we will truly live these beliefs that we proclaim. And in so doing, then we become truly citizens of this country, but more importantly, of the kingdom of heaven. Praised be Jesus and Mary.